could just bow with me for a moment. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we come to know you, a God of love, a God that loves. Praise you for that. And Lord, as we just take these moments to again focus on your amazing plan. And I think not only your amazing plan for humanity, but thank you for your amazing plan for Gentiles, for those whoever in all the world, thank you that your love reached all of us. And we just ask that you prepare our hearts to remember our Lord Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. In Jesus' name, amen. I talked a bit last week about God's amazing plan, and I just kind of want to continue on. And I guess to think, going back to Genesis 3 in the garden and the way that the serpent, Lucifer, fallen angel, rebelled against God, comes to Eve in this likeness in the person of some kind of a creature that at that time was beautiful to beguile and to captivate the human race. That was his plans. That was Satan's plan. But God had a plan. And whenever you think about God's plan, I mentioned last week, there's a couple of verses that mean so much to me to think about that. And one is in Isaiah 55, where God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. In fact, they are so different as the height of heaven over the earth. And he talks about his word then, but we can see his ways and how he deals and through the word. So he teaches us his ways, but they're not the way we would approach things. And we need to know that. The other I treasure, Isaiah 40:28, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not? He's not weary. There is no searching of his understanding. And so when we try to look at how God works and how he works with our lives and those around us, we've got to know that the infinite wisdom of our God in the framework of love. I'm so grateful that our God is a God of love. And that's what determines this battle, because Satan, a fallen angel, created and beautiful, talented, skillful, but he's a fallen angel, and he knows nothing about love. He has nothing to give out of love. And that's what the conflict is between our God and the wicked one. In the Genesis 3 record, and you know that what the wicked one had on his mind was to steal. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes but for to steal, kill, and destroy. He wanted to steal the human race. And he had to believe that he had gotten the work done. God had told Adam and Eve, do not partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and that day you'll die. And the serpent beguiled Eve, and she gave to Adam. And so the whole human race fell into spiritual death. They didn't die physically, but they died spiritually. But God had a plan right at that point, and not taking a long time on that right now, but he made a declaration to the serpent. First of all, you're going to not stand upright anymore. I don't know what that serpent looked like. But you're going to go on the dust, and you're going to eat dust. And throughout scripture, I think of Psalm 91, under God's shadow, you can tread on serpents and scorpions and all the works of darkness. Luke 10, I give you power to tread on the enemy. And that's an amazing thing that God did to put the authority and of those made lower than the angels that come to him to be able to have authority over the kingdom of darkness in this day. I said last week, and it just comes to me that when God told the serpent, and he told Eve and the serpent, of course Adam is party to that too, that the seed of woman will bruise your head. It's going to do away with you. It's going to destroy you. You'll bruise his heel. And it just came to me, he was speaking John 3:16 right there. Jesus came later and he told the truth concerning God's plan. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And that's what was in God's heart and in his mind right there. My son will come into this race made lower than the angels, and he will pay the price and redeem mankind that will come after him. I don't think there's any way that the enemy of our souls, Satan, the enemy of Jesus Christ, could perceive in any way what God was going to do. He is cunning. He is very intelligent. But to think that God was going to do something like that, where what I want to look at today further, not only to give those of his children his authority to walk in victory and safety, protected by him in this day, but more than that, that he would come and live in those that would come to him. That God had a plan in the human race made lower than the angels to pay the penalty for whosoever would, but then those that are born again, to indwell them, empower them to become like his son, to restore his family. And I think that's the big thing that was on God's mind and heart. The wicked one has come to destroy my family that I purposed. They were in the garden. He gave them everything that they could want, fellowship with him. And it would appear, and I believe that our enemy thought, I did it, I've got it, I've got the human race. But he didn't understand God's ways. That God had his wonderful plan that we accept by faith, that he then comes to live in us. In 2 Corinthians 4:6, many verses I could share. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. John 14 then goes on, and I just want us to look at some things that were on God's heart to do in our lives. And I guess I just want to share what my heart's desire and concern is, that we can grasp what's available to us on this side of glory, and not to have to wait in the presence of God and to be able to say, that was what was available to you. That's what I wanted to do through you. We can sing the songs like Christ liveth in me, and that God lives in us, but to come to grips with the reality that God lives in me and wants to work through me to do his will. It's not who we are. It's not, we are made lower than the angels. And what amazing thing was on God's heart. And so I just want to share some things with you here. And I would go to John 14 again for just a moment in verse 16. You know that here in 16, 15, Jesus is telling his own, I'm going to go away. I've been with you now. I'm here with you, but I want you to know I'm going to be in you. Don't let your heart be troubled. It's part of God's plan to do a marvelous thing. So again in verse 16, our brother read this passage this morning. He said, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, which the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. And here he says, for he dwelleth with you. He's saying, I'm here with you. The Spirit of God is on me. I'm here with you and shall be in you. I'm with you now, but I want you to know I'm going to be in you. That's better than being with us. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I just want us to lay hold of that. They had the disciples, and those that followed him had the blessing of walking with Jesus to watch his life. But then he's saying, there's something better coming. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to live in you. I'm going to live through you. And the truth is, and I think every Christian here probably knows, that when you were born again, when you accepted Jesus as your Savior, the Spirit of God came into you and you were born into God's family. Let me give you a couple of verses. One is in Romans 8:9. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. 1 Corinthians 6:19. What, know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which you have of God, and you are not your own? So every Christian here that has put their faith in Jesus Christ has the Spirit of God living in. But he goes on not only to say that the Holy Spirit is going to come, I'm going to come to you. And what I want to do is just take a couple moments here to remind us of why God's doing that. Why would God do that? The one verse I just love the verse in, get the right one here, verse 23 of John 14, if a man love me, he will keep my words, my Father will love him, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. If you love the Lord today, if you've been born again into God's family, the living God has come to live in you. It's hard for us to sometimes comprehend that because our eyes have gone closed spiritually. I can tell you that every devil and demonic spirit, they see Christ in you. They know he's there. But we accept it by faith on the word that Jesus said, we're going to come and dwell with you and live in you. A couple of the reasons that God has chosen to do that is he's restoring his family. And I believe in the heart of God, he says, that wicked one came to steal my family. But in my creative ways, I'm going to restore my family, and it's going to take sending my son to pay the price for that sin that the whole human race was cast into with the disobedience in the garden, but then to live in them and to empower them to become more and more like my son. And you know Romans 8:29 says that those that he knew ahead of time, he destined to become like his son, that he, Jesus, might become the firstborn among many brothers and sisters in Christ, to be like him. John says when the Lord comes back, when we meet the Lord Jesus, we will be like him. The process is going on right now. If you are walking with the Lord, to make you more and more like the Lord Jesus. We had a verse this past Wednesday, I think, that he that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk as he walked. So we look at his life, we watch his life, we walk like he walked, we follow him, but empowered by the Spirit to become more and more like him. And so the second thing that I would say is so important to the Father, not only is he's restoring the family to be with him forever, but it's to do his work here. Jesus went home to the Father. In fact, Jesus said, and he prayed to the Father, he says, "While I've been here, I've kept them, but now I commit them to you for you to keep them." And one of the things, and the verse, the first verse that, my brother read here today, in John 14:12, "Verily, verily, I say unto you," Jesus speaking here, "he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to my Father." And I think the greater works, it's going to be God working through this person here and this person here and this person here and those that are yielding themselves to his plan and to his desire. In John 15, Jesus explains it more. "I'm the true vine. You that follow me, you're the branches. You abide in me. You're connected with me. And my life is lived out through you. And the Father's desire is that there be fruit." He means by fruit, there will be others that will be told how to receive Christ and be born into his family. There will be others that through his power are set free from bondages. There will be others whose hearts are, that because he's ministering through you, that broken hearts will be healed. The same kind of things Jesus said as he read Isaiah 61 there in his hometown, that the Spirit of God was on him to do these things. Now God lives in you for Jesus to do that through you. And I think you know the truth there in John 15. "I am the vine, you're the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing." Just a branch. Flesh and blood. Back in that passage in 2 Corinthians 4, says that he does that through earthly vessels, that the excellency of the powers of God. If God works through you, and he wants to work through you, he gets the glory. I put on the back of the bulletin, I put it on there before, I love Annie Johnson's Flint's poem, "But God." I have a abbreviated version of that I have been praying consistently over the years when I need to prepare a message, when I need to work with somebody. My abbreviated, "I know not God, but you know. I see not God, but you can. You see. And I cannot, but you can." Just a reminder that we of ourselves cannot do it. It's him working in and through us. I had to think Kathleen and Roger here. They go to Abundant up there in Lee's Summit, and we go occasionally with our boys there. I saw one morning the pastor, Phil Hopper, for his message, he got down on his knees there on the floor. And he said afterward, "I just want you to know that what I was doing is asking God to fill me with his Spirit, because I can't do it on my own." And it's so important to understand that. We're just vessels. We're just a branch. We're just made lower than the angels. But God has chosen to come and indwell you as a Christian to get done through you what he wants to do. I wanted to just share this. I prayed with a young lady. The way that God works. I prayed with a young lady, grew up in a Christian home, and she went off the rails and was not living for God. In fact, she told us yesterday, I purposed never to go to church again. The wicked one did something in her sister's life that she needs freedom from, but when she saw that happen in her sister, she told me yesterday, it broke me. She wants to be clean before God. She wants to be used of God. And I just say this, we have an enemy that oversteps his bounds all the time. He thought he had these girls forever, and God just took and used it and turned it upside down, and now they're trying to live for God and get back to God. I put that there because it's meaningful to me. I look forward to meeting Annie Johnson Flint. She had painful arthritis in her life, but she sure had insights with the Lord. And appreciate what she wrote in poetry. One other thing, I just, before we close and have the Lord's Supper this morning, God demonstrated how he works to Moses. And I just remind us of that. You know that amazing thing, Moses was born at a time when Pharaoh had commanded all the boy babies to be destroyed and drowned, and they put him out in the basket in the water, and Pharaoh's daughter got a hold of him and had compassion for him and raised him in Pharaoh's household. And when he grew up, he had a burden for his fellow Jacob's children, Israelites. And he thought, surely they will know that God has sent me to rescue them. And you know that it blew up in his face. And he had to flee Egypt and spent 40 years in the wilderness. And then one day, God brought him face to face out there where he had ultimately lead his people with a bush that was just burning. It was on fire. And I guess that wasn't so unusual. Maybe lightning would set bushes on fire. I don't know. But he pondered it and watched it, and it didn't burn up. I think the lesson that God was giving him, and he was calling him, now you go back and you're going to lead my people out, and you're going to be used of me. In essence, I believe God was saying, 40 years ago, you tried to do it on your own, and you burned out. But I want you to know that if you'll let me do it through you, you're not going to burn up. It's going to be my work. I'll get the glory, and God will use you. And I just say, that's what's on my heart. No matter what your circumstances, what family you're in, what work you're doing, the living God has chosen to live in you and through you to get done what's on his heart. And I think the crucial thing is John 15, abide in him. Stay in fellowship with him. Depend on him. Believe on him. And trust him and see what God will do through you. None of us are up to doing God's work. But the God that lives in us is, and he will. And it all comes back to what Jesus was willing to pay for. To be the sin sacrifice for me, for you, for whosoever will. And we remember him this morning. Praise you, Lord Jesus, for what you did. And that we can be in God's family, not only growing in time to be more like him, but ultimately home with him. God's family together. Brothers and sisters in Christ, like him, in the presence of our Father. Father, I just want to thank you today for your plan and purpose that goes beyond our imagination and thinking, and far beyond the kingdom of darkness and how they would imagine. They didn't understand. One thing the wicked one did not understand is your immense love, Father. And your love that was so great to let your son pay the price and to send him. And we come, Father, to remember him today. Lord, may indeed the Lord Jesus be honored as we remember him in the Lord's Supper today. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want us to sing one verse, and I just picked Channels Only. It's 173, and I think that's the picture. We're just a channel. Abide in him and let him work through us to minister to your family, to those around you, to get done what's on his heart. Let's sing just that first verse, 173, and then prepare your heart for the Lord's Supper. Thank you. use us every day and every hour. Would you stand with me and we'll just sing the chorus together. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation, so rich and free. Father, as we're dismissed from this and ask your blessing on our time this afternoon, but I just ask you to somehow by your Spirit just make it so clear on a daily basis, Lord, you live in me, and that we might appropriate your life to be used for your glory. And now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.